The Royals edition right here on wildtalkradio.com. He's Rock, I'm Lindsay, and we're back with episode 7, and holy crap, things happened in this. So many things, all the things happened in this.
It's no family dinner, but it was still a family gathering of sorts, and boy oh boy, did we learn some things about people in this episode.
Did we ever... And we also saw some people's true nature come out in this episode. So, you know, we're just going to kind of sort of go through this. Basically, we saw how Jasper and King Robert just really don't like each other at all. That was further emphasized in this episode where the king is getting Jasper fitted for his knighting ceremony in a nice suit. And as a gift, he gives Jasper a new watch because he's like, I can't have you walking around looking shabby. And, you know, once this goes down, you represent my family. You represent me. So, you know, you have to look the part. He was quite insistent on this. So he brings in a selection of watches for Jasper. And, well, Jasper being Jasper picks the gold Rolex. He's like, ah, American Hustler.
Yeah, the king took a jab at him for it, just because, you know, he can.
He can. And it's like, oh dear. Oh dear. And we'll get to more with Robbie and Jasper a little bit later, but part of this is that Eleanor shows up. She's been doing her Robin Hood type things. Jasper's really not happy about her doing the Robin Hood type things, but he's letting her do it. At least till she gets hurt. Where basically she's doing the Robin Hood type things. She leaves a pen for someone. They catch her and she runs away. And as she's diving into some bushes to get away, she cuts her arm. And Jasper gets really upset about it because he's like, you know, I don't want you to get hurt. I worry about you. They have a fight. They bangity bang, bang, bangity bang. And then they fight some more.
That is a theme in our shows. Bang, bang, bangity bang.
Well, with these two, it's a theme.
Well, they fight and then they bang, bang. Bangity bang.
Yep, so that's that. And that had a nice little resolution to it that we'll get to at the end of the episode. But yeah, so just kind of setting up all the beginning stuff. And then we see Liam and Catherine. They're so sweet. They're so cute. They're having breakfast together. They're smooching. They're talking. And Liam invites Catherine to come to the opening of an exhibition for his father, King Simon. Just so, you know, they can spend time together and have a good time. And oh wait, his mother awkwardly pulls up in a limo, drags them both in the limo and is like, dude, you can't be smooching in public. You have an entire palace to do that in. Why do you have to be in public?
So remember in the earlier episodes, we said the queen was taking a back seat?
No, she's not.
She's no longer taking that back seat.
Helena is like full on stiletto heel on the accelerator, her time to shine, here she goes type deal. And yeah, so basically she tells Liam, you know, and Catherine can come to the gala. It's not a problem that she's there. She just can't be there in the official capacity as your girlfriend because, oh hey, we're announcing Robbie's engagement and you can't overshadow your brother.
She can be there. She's in the, you know, the royal circle now. It'll be great for her when we announce that you guys are together in a few months. And he's like, a few months?
Right?
That's not fair.
And she's like, this isn't about fair. You promised to, you know, be a good guy and, you know, support your family and do what we need you to do. So, hey, guess what? Here's that thing that you gotta do. So Liam is not the least bit happy about it. But speaking of his brother, we get a little treat of Robbie and Willow in bed together.
After they bang, bang. Bangity bang.
There's a lot of bang, bang, bangity bang going on in this show. And, well, they're talking and they're chatting and basically they're talking about announcing the engagement at the gala and Willow's super excited, but she's nervous and Robbie's like, don't worry about it. It'll be fine. We're just going to have fun. But, you know, they both agree that Willow should be relatable. She should just be an every girl, you know, a normal girl that fell in love with a king. And that the public can fill in what they want. Famous last words on that.
Yeah, and then, you know, he was like, maybe then we can also start filling in our story. So they go back to bang, bang, bangity bang.
Well, you know, like you do.
Like you do.
So Willow meets with the queen a little bit later on after they get done bang, bang, bangity banging. And the queen is like, okay, so in prep for your whole announcement, we've crafted your engagement story. And she hands her like 3 sheets of paper and she's like, memorize this. And we've picked this lovely outfit for you, which honestly, to me, the dress and the necklace didn't quite go together. It was like this sort of flouncy, ruffly topped spaghetti strap chiffon number that had big flowers on it. It was dark. And then they picked this like paisley inspired diamond necklace, which is like, that doesn't really go together. But okay, all right, I'm not going to argue with royalty.
I thought the dress looked nice, but I'm a dude and it's girl talk.
The dress was nice, but the necklace was a bit much for the dress. You could have gone with a simpler necklace, because she had the necklace and then she had diamond earrings to go with it. So she was decked out in jewels.
Okay.
But conservative jewels. Conservative. In quotations.
In quotations.
In comparison to Helena.
In quotations. She's trying to keep her one step below her in fashion.
Yes. So Willow kind of rejects the idea of the story. She rejects the outfit. She's just like, you know, hey, what if I just wear something casual? I could get my mother's pearls. I can carry some peonies. You know, relatable. Still tells the story, but it's more me. And Hella's like, no. You need to do what I tell you, because I know what I'm doing. Vanath is a lot longer than you. I know how this goes. Trust me, just do the thing and you'll be fine. Well, Willow rejects doing the thing. She wears the dress and the necklace and everything like that. Like, she does that part of it, but when it comes to telling the story, they're basically like, oh, you know, Willow was whisked off to Argentina when she was a child, and she was raised there, and then she came back, and, you know, they do the whole, you can't take you can take the girl out of the aristocracy, but you can't take the aristocracy out of the girl kind of thing. And they turn to Willow, and she's like, yeah, no, that's all crap. I'm just a regular girl. I worked here at the palace, and I fell in love with the king.
And we bang, bang, bangity bang.
She didn't say that part.
Okay. She didn't say that part. But in other shows, it's implied.
It's implied, yes. So, Helena gets upset, and she politely excuses herself from the press and lets them finish the interview, only to confront Willow later, where she's like, what the heck? What are you doing? And Willow's like, well, you know, that was your way. This is my way. And Helena's like, oh, you are so dead. But not by me!
Oh no. Oh no. We might as well just get to that part now.
Yeah, so then later in the episode, Willow comes into the queen's bedroom. She's crying. She's upset because she's reading social media, and there's all kinds of unflattering pictures of her out there. There's GIFs. There's videos. There are people who are calling her hideous. They're calling her a gold digger. They're being just absolutely vile to her based on this everyday girl story that she told. And Helen is loving every minute of it.
Oh, yeah, she is.
Because it's like the ultimate I told you so moment for her. Where it's like, see? See? Had you done what I told you to do, would have been fine. But oh no, no, you knew better. You clearly knew better. So, you know, I'm sure that's going to work out for you. And she looks at Willow and she very condescendingly says, you'll be just fine.
And she walked away and basically sort of, I forget the exact hashtag, but it was like, hashtag queen just lied.
Hashtag queen just lied. Hashtag good luck with that.
Yeah.
So Willow and Mummy Darius are off to a fabulous start.
Yeah, we'll go with that. It makes for great television, that's for sure.
Does make for great television. So Helen is dealing with some other stuff too. We mentioned the legacy event, and she's dealing with that. She's dealing with the stress of the fact that she's no longer going to be queen once Robbie and Willow marry, and that Robbie has sprung this on her out of the blue, and she's sort of panicking, and she has a panic attack. But she has to donate something to this exhibition, and she's looking for a pin that conveniently enough Eleanor left on somebody's doorstep at the beginning of the episode. Oops.
So she's looking for this pen all over, and she goes, she just starts accusing the Bluebirds of stealing the pen, and Eleanor walks in, and she's like, no, they wouldn't do it, and she realizes, this is the perfect alibi, I can have them blame for this while I go find it. Mm-hmm. And that's what she did, and she starts yelling at the Bluebirds about it. It's great television.
Yeah, and she's like, that one looks shifty. And she's like, you're gonna find it. All of you are gonna find it. No, go find it. And Eleanor's like, it's gonna be fine. It's gonna be great. By the way, BRB. So she runs out. She runs to Jasper, and she's like, hey, so I did something really stupid, and I need your help. And Jasper's like, really?
No, first, she sucks up to him.
Yeah, she's like, you look so nice. And he's like, what do you want?
What do you need? What do you mean I need something? I know you. This is what you do.
Right? So then she explains the situation that basically they have to go steal the pen back, and Jasper's like, oh god, fine. So they go, and they end up at these people's house that she left the pen at, and thankfully they're not home, so they sneak into their house through a second story window, or through a window, and they're in their formal attire, by the way. So Jasper's in his brand new tux, and Eleanor's in her outfit for the evening, which is, I would call, formal Madonna. That's kind of where I would go with that.
Okay, I'll go with that.
And what we see is Jasper has actually irritated his wound, and is bleeding through his shirt.
He busted a stitch. They end up finding the pen. It was in the freezer, of all places.
Yep.
And as they find it, wouldn't you know it, the people come home. So they scramble and they hide, under the staircase?
They get in the cupboard under the stairs.
Yeah. And they're hiding out as the couple comes in and they're getting ready to watch the exhibition on television. And they're all they're making comments. Wonder what the princess will wear and things like that. And they mentioned how Eleanor is. She does drugs and does dudes, basically. Forget yep. the exact phrase, but that's basically what the one dude was saying about her. And she took offense to it, but then realized, yeah, that's true.
That's true. So they have enough when they realize that they're settled in and they're not going to go anywhere, because their whole plan is, once they go to sleep, we'll sneak out. Well, Eleanor has enough. She busts out of the cupboard. The couple is in shock. And she's like, look, y'all, I gave you this pen. I'm the Robin Hood. No big deal. I have to take it back because it kind of means something, but I'll bring you something equally as nice. I promise. But we have to go. And the lady's like, what do you mean we? What is we? And then Jasper comes out of the cupboard and they're like, oh my god! He's like, yeah, we really gotta go because I gotta do the whole knighting thing. And then he takes off the gold Rolex and he gives it to the couple in place of
the pen. Yeah.
And they're like, oh my god, this is great, this is awesome, this is way nicer than the pen, thank you so much. She gets a picture of them and she basically like, okay, so that should have been like Men in Black where you don't remember anything. And they go, no. And Eleanor's like, okay, fine, don't tell anybody.
I just love that she tried the Men in Black routine.
That was awesome.
It's like, that doesn't work in real life, but nice try.
Good try, Eleanor. Good try. So they book it out of there, and they make it to the event in time. And, well, this event becomes a bit of a show, as it were. Catherine arrives, meeting Liam, and she looks gorgeous in her dress. And they're quietly speaking to each other, not looking at each other because she's there, but she's not there with him. So they're talking in code and that kind of thing.
He mentioned, hey, go walk to the bar, because he wanted to watch her walk away.
Yep.
He wanted to look at her ass, basically.
Well, you know.
It's what you do.
It's what you do.
Nothing wrong with it.
I mean, if you're going to be at a party, you might as well have fun.
I mean, you can't be together, so you might as well, you know, have some fun with it.
Exactly. We see Robbie and Willow arriving, and of course, you know, Willow gets ganged up by the press. She had expressed her concerns to Robbie before they came in, and he's like, eh, it'll be fine, don't worry about it. He does all the talking for it, and, well, Robbie falls a little flat, because he's like, she's an excellent person, I love her in every way, and it's a pretty robotic response. And they're continuing to jump in on her, and she's floundering in it. And so Liam, being Liam, steps in, distracts the press, and he's like, hey, you want to see my date? And then he grabs Catherine, and he's like, you know, she's wonderful, I love her, da-da-da-da-da. And he talks up the event, he talks up Catherine, and then they ask him about Willow. And here's where he saves his brother's backside.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Because he looks at Willow and he looks at the press and he's like, she's a wonderful person. She's anything but ordinary. And my brother is the second luckiest man in the room tonight. And then he kisses Catherine. But basically, he smooths everything. Like, that doesn't do the speech, what he said, justice. But he's super charming. He's cool. He's confident. He's slick. He calms everything down. He brushes it all over. He kisses Catherine, which the press adores. And then they turn around and they're saying, oh, hey, give us a kiss, Willow. Give us a kiss. So she kisses Robert and everything's fine. Everything's copacetic. Mama is not happy.
Or is she happy?
Or is she happy? Because she walks up to Liam later and she's like, what did I tell you? We're not going to announce your thing till later. Just kidding. Good work. Way to save your brother's bacon.
And then he's talking to Willow, comes up to thank him. And then the brother comes up and, you know, he takes a shot. Maybe you should learn a thing or two from Willow.
Right.
And how to be apologetic and stuff. How to be humble. Yeah, it's great.
It's fantastic. Like, there's still a little bit of rivalry there between Liam and Robert. Mm-hmm. Then it comes time for Helena to give her speech. And she's getting ready to put something else into the collection when Eleanor shows up with the pen. And her mother's delighted that it's there. And Eleanor proceeds to give a wonderful, moving speech about her family and her father and what the pen represents. And just to fill everybody in, what the pen represents is it was the most important pen in the world to her father, supposedly. This is the pen that he signed his marriage certificate with, all the children's birth certificates with, countless laws and trade union agreements and charitable donations and, like, everything he did was through this pen. And her mother then took the pen and did continue that work with that pen by signing all the documents with it. And I was kind of sitting there thinking about this as she's giving this speech, and this is what a horrible person I am. I'm like, so does that include she signed, like, everything to delegitimize her own children with that pen?
No, she might have used another pen.
She might have used another pen for that. But yeah, I was just thinking about that. I was like, but if she, okay, all right, nobody's going to bring that up, so I'm just not going to say anything.
So basically what Eleanor relayed in her speech was everything her mother was telling her earlier about the pen when she was in a panic looking for it. And it was things her mother was too humbled to probably say about it. She went on and said it.
Yep. And so it's a nice speech. Everybody applauds. And it's like, yay, well done, Eleanor. So she kind of glows in the limelight a little bit. And we have a nice hug between mother and daughter. Now, while all this is going on, this is being covered by the press. And you mentioned that the couple that they were in the house with was watching it on TV. Well, someone else was watching it on TV. That's our good buddy, ex-king Cyrus, in his little room in the consulate. He's watching it on TV. He's having a hard time accepting it. And, well, he's also having a hard time with Austin. He tried to, you know, befriend him and put a little peace offering with crisps, and that didn't work. So then he brings his favorite hooker over to have sex with him, and they know each other through online dating, of all things. And so she ends up doing Austin for free because
bang,
he's a patriot.
Bang. Bangity bang.
So, it's like, okay, all right. And one thing that Austin relays to Cyrus is that, you know, basically, I lost my family because of you. My brother died while I was here and I couldn't go to his funeral and I couldn't say goodbye. And so later on, as this exhibition is airing and Cyrus is watching the coverage, he goes to Austin and he's like, you know, everybody said I hated my brother, but I didn't. I miss him every day and I wish I had told him I loved you more. And basically, he empathizes with Aston's pain over his brother and they basically bond over that. And Austin pulls out Pong because it's a two-person game. And he's like, just sit there and play it and don't talk to me. So Cyrus is making friends.
Yes. Yes, he is.
So that's good. And now we come to Jasper's knighting. We'll get to all the awkwardness in a second, but we come to Jasper's knighting. And there's a lot of stuff going on around this. Basically, Jasper didn't want to do it because he's like, my dad shot me. You know, it wasn't in the service of the king, yada, yada, yada. I feel like a fraud. And Eleanor's like, no, dude, you're my hero. You saved my life if you didn't save my brothers. Plus, you know, he's done countless other acts for the family. So it's sort of well deserved. Before he gets knighted, Robbie comes in and interrupts essentially Jasper and Eleanor from celebrating her little speech, and Robbie's like, you know, hey, what happened to the watch I gave you? And Jasper's like, yeah, I gave it to somebody who needed it more. And Robbie's like, yeah, I don't think you did. And he's like, you know what this old beat up piece of crap watch represents? It's like, this is the very first thing I earned for myself.
He was 16 years old.
He was 16 years old. He went out and got a job because he wanted to buy himself something. And he worked nights at a gas station. And when he had enough money, he bought himself that watch. And that watch is the reminder that through hard work and integrity, he can get anything he wants. So that's what that watch represents. Mm-hmm. And so, and then Jasper has the best dig at Robbie. He looks at him and goes, not that you would know anything about that.
Burn.
It's like, ouch. It's like, you know, I really almost hate that Robbie and Jasper are enemies. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like they'd be really good friends if they weren't, you know?
I could see that.
I could see them being frenemies.
Frenemies is a good term.
I really see that. Kind of makes me a little sad they didn't go there, but I'm okay with it too. So Jasper gets knighted, everybody's happy, Eleanor's thrilled, and afterwards they go back to the palace and Eleanor is fixing Jasper's wound. She's rebandaging it. And he tells Eleanor that she's his hero because she saves his life every day, which is really sweet. And he kind of goes through with it for her because it's a way to normalize their relationship where it's, okay, now he's not common anymore. So it means that they can be together without hindrance.
Right.
So that's pretty awesome. But, well, somebody else is trying to be with somebody else with a hindrance.
More bang, bang, bangity bang.
Robert, you naughty, naughty boy. How dare you? Max Brown warned us.
He did. If you haven't heard it, go back to RecRadioShow.com. Listen to episode 2 of the Rack Extra Reviews, The Royals, and you can hear our interview with Max Brown.
I'm just going to say, he's one of my favorite things about this season so far. He really is. Like, the way that he's playing this, And the way that they've written him is really, really, really masterful.
He has stepped up to the plate and become sort of the centerpiece of the show.
Yep. It was really... He's something. He's really something. So, at the end of last episode, we saw Robbie talking to Catherine, and they sort of reestablish a familiarity with each other, where he apologizes to her, and she's like, yeah, okay, whatever, and she leaves. So she shows up to the party, and of course, Robbie's like, hey!
Can we bang, bang? Bangity bang.
Basically, yeah. So he approaches her and he hits on her and he basically propositions her for sex. And she's like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it, but goddammit, I'm going to do it.
Be there at 9.
Be there at 9:30.
And he's like, make sure you wear that dress.
Yeah, wear the dress. Which is like, oh, that's sleazy.
Very sleazy.
Very, very sleazy, which this kind of leads to an awkward moment between Willow and Catherine, because Willow's basically like, oh yeah, you were at my engagement party, and Catherine goes, if I had known it was your engagement party, I never would have shown up. And she's like, but you're here tonight.
Yeah, for the exhibition and the nighting.
And Willow's like, yeah, no, that's not what you're here for. Basically, she excuses Catherine of trying to get Robbie back, and Catherine's like, that's not the case, and she starts to walk off, and then she looks at Willow, and she's like, you know, there are two people in that relationship. You need to go talk to the other one.
Because he wants to bang, bang, bangity bang.
And Willow's just a little taken aback by that, but yeah, so there's tension there with Willow and Catherine. I don't think they're going to be BFFs. What do you think?
I don't think so at this point, no.
No.
She's never liked Catherine from the beginning. Even before she hooked up with the king, she's never liked her.
Well, I think it comes from the fact that it was when she was in love with Liam, and it could be that she's still in love with Liam, and that Liam wanted Catherine over her.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, where it comes from, is Willow tried her hardest to get Liam, and she could not get him because he was already in love with Catherine. So now she's going for the brother, because, you know, get it where you can get it.
Bang, bang. Bangity bang.
And also, queen.
Bang. Yeah, there's that.
Like, it's kind of apparent that, you know, basically she's sort of setting herself in line to be queen. Mm-hmm. In a really subtle way. Because she was after Liam when he was the heir, and then when Robbie came back, suddenly it became all about Robbie. Which, she didn't necessarily do that. That was him, but she didn't stop it.
No. No, she didn't. And she was the one who started the King Liam hashtag.
Yep. So she's kind of had her eye on the crown here for a while, and I think we saw a little bit of Willow's true nature with Catherine.
Maybe.
I just get that hunch. So this all comes to a head where Catherine shows up at the palace outside Robbie's door at 9:30. He invites her in. He basically says that he still has feelings for her, that he wants to bang, bang, bangity banger, all these different things, and she admits that she feels the same way and that she's a horrible person. And they go to kiss, and Robbie stops her and goes, I'm so sorry you had to hear that, brother. And we pan back to see Liam standing behind Catherine. It's like, ooh!
That bitch!
Which one, Robbie or Catherine? Because it's either at this point. It's like, damn!
Yeah, the answer is yes.
Yes, the answer is yes. It's like, Robbie, how could you? And that's pretty much what Liam says is, Robbie, how could you? Do you have to take everything that's mine? And Robbie then plays the whole, well, I was trying to protect you card because she's totally a gold digger and she was using you. And I just want it to get back to where we're mates again and we can have a drink together. And he's like, fine, okay, let's have that drink.
The one moment was like, did you forget to mention is when Catherine passes Liam, he's just like, go.
Yeah, he's just like, leave. And she walks out, and there are two footmen there to walk her out to make sure she leaves. But yeah, that was pretty much the climax of the episode right there. And this was a really good episode. I'm excited to see where it leads.
What we learned is there are certain people who are trying to control the situation, Robert and Helena, and they're both playing two different games with the same people.
Yep.
And Robert's playing his game to get his brother back on his side and getting rid of whatever the distraction Catherine would be, because he still is screwing with that relationship. He doesn't want her anywhere near the palace because of everything else that's happened.
Yep.
And then Helena is like, I'm going to control this new queen. Watch me. She may not like it, but I'm going to do my damnedest to do so.
I don't think it's necessarily she's trying to control the new queen. I think she's trying to really put her in her place.
Well, that's a version of controlling her.
It's a version of controlling her, but it's Robbie's trying to control her. And I'm just going to say it. I still say Willow's playing a long game. We haven't seen it yet, but I just have a really funny hunch that Willow is not who we really think she is and is playing a long game.
I don't know. I still think she's sweet and innocent.
I don't know.
We'll see.
We'll see, but yeah. You don't get there by accident. Just saying. But yeah, this was a super great episode. I feel like this set up a lot for the final three tiers episodes that we've got coming. It's almost over. Why is it almost over? I need more.
It just feels like it just got started, too.
I know! I hate that these are only 10 episode seasons. I really do.
But they're great 10 episodes.
They're fantastic 10 episode seasons, but yeah. And by the way, so far, I'm just gonna say it. Season 3. So, I know we're only 7 episodes in, but I'm just gonna go ahead and say it now. I need a season 5. Need it. Just need it. So, you know, I know there's a lot going on with the show behind the scenes. I know it may be in jeopardy. I don't know if it's in jeopardy, but I know there's stuff going on. So, if somebody at E could be benevolent enough to make a season 5 happen, that would be fantastic. That's my plea, because I have to make it.
Ditto.
And also, it's just a really good show. Like, this season has been really good so far. This has been one of the best ones they've done.
It really has. It's an addictive show, and it's our addiction, and we enjoy it a lot. So, more episodes, the better.
Well, they've taken it in a completely different place. Like, it's the heart of the show is still there, but they've taken it into a much more mature place without it feeling stuffy.
Yeah, they've grown up in terms of things. First, it was rebellious against the father, to now trying to recompose themselves and build a new life.
So we'll have to see what episode 8 brings, but, well, you got plugs.
Rack Radio Show on the Facebooks, the Twitters, the Instagrams, rackradioshow.com. To hear all the episodes of the Rack Extra Reviews, the Royals, you can check out the Rack Extra Reviews Timeless, also at rackradioshow.com, along with our live show every Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, rackradioshow.com.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard. Go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. Well, he's Rock. I'm Lindsay. This has been the Rack Extra Reviews, right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be back next week with episode 8 of The Royals. Till then, bye!